There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, I see some of you also offering questions for President's Day presidential trivia. I may use some of those, but I have to check them out. I've got my questions, as always, each year, about 1:35. We'll ask a few if you think you're good on presidential trivia. Hopefully, I'll bring some new questions I haven't used in the past, and we can get those going in the second half of this hour. All right, and of course, we're going to keep our eyes on just the continued saber rattling and drumbeat coming from half a world away in Ukraine, and you've now had Vladimir Putin speak to the Russian people, and it's basically saying there's Ukrainians, Russian people that need liberation inside Ukraine, and we're here for them, and all the rhetoric you probably would imagine to hear, but we'll keep our eye on that situation as well. And I mentioned this hour, we talked to a candidate here, sheriff of Mobile County, and this is a lot of people get confused when they think law enforcement, because they're thinking like municipal law enforcement and places where you have a mayor decide who's going to be the head of police, right? Chief of police, like we do in the city of Mobile. At a county level and sheriff, you have a law enforcement person, but you have a political position. You have an election for that person, and that's or for that position. And then it's a little bit different in those. And a man who's been doing this law enforcement thing for 50 years, five decades. I'll let him explain more here. Running for sheriff of Mobile County, Ed Albritton is with me in studio. Good to see you. I'm going to get you close to that mic right there. Yes.
Pull
that
one right.
Good afternoon. So 50 years of law enforcement.
Yes, more than half my life.
You're not that old of a man here. I mean, I don't know your age exactly, but you must have been, you're pretty young, pretty rosy-cheeked when you started this.
I was fresh out of the Air Force and started into law enforcement after working with the airlines wanting to strike, and I just couldn't afford to work on picket line duty, so I pinned a badge on, and I've been doing this ever since.
Wow. And, I mean, to kind of bookend where the people were, and where, and I think people are still the same around here, but nationally, where the people were with law enforcement 50 years ago and what law enforcement faces now.
It's a big change. I've seen the change from you could leave your windows open, your doors open in your car, and to now locking up everything with bars and alarms and cameras.
But what has changed? And we can also talk about the reaction, this national thing, this anti-police reaction. But let's just talk about the need for law enforcement from 50 years ago to today. What changed in the people, or what changed in the laws?
The laws are basically the same. They've been repealed, and some new ones have come out. Some you have to get used to when you're in law enforcement. But the people themselves, it's the as they grow up and the society changes. I mean, we're dealing with the old folks back when I was born, mm-hmm. law enforcement, to now where the people have, aren't educated as what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's part of the problem. But and that's something that I want to do is try and educate young folks to get them back on track the way it was when I started.
So, and I think that's a great idea. The question is, and I know we'll talk about it, is how do you do that? How do you get, is it too far? You don't think it's too far gone to get their attention again on that.
I don't think it is.
Get you closer to that mic, too.
I don't think that we are concentrating too much on the younger folks. I know that the law enforcement in the city and the county, in all the cities in the county, are concentrating on the crime we have now,
mm-hmm.
and not to educate the young folks that we have. And I feel as though that we need to escalate that in the schools and have something like a Big Brothers program to start them off in the right track, not to go to the bad side, you might say, dark side.
Right. Well, I mean, once people get I think people need to see each other as human beings, and there's been different programs, whether it's Coffee with the Cop or all these things to, you know, get adults. But yeah, if the children, I think, or younger folks can see that everybody's a human being. Law enforcement folks, y'all aren't two-dimensional. You're three-dimensional. I know quite a few of you. You know?
All of us are the same. I mean, we got families just like everybody else. And,
right.
And our job is pretty hard whenever you got negative towards you. And most of the time here lately, we've had negative. And it's something that we're going to have to overcome and educate, the, like I said, the young folks to bring them up. That's going to be running this place when we're dead and gone.
So. That's right. You talk about the uptick in crime and violence, and this is as kitchen table politics as it gets,
exactly,
Mr. Albritton. Right?
Exactly.
And people look around and say, and I know people say, well, there's a national trend and there's this and that, and I often push back and say, but yeah, this is where I live. This is the one I'm most concerned in.
That's exactly right. You know, we have it's an upscale with drugs, as we all know. It's mm-hmm. really getting heavy, and we're going to have to concentrate on the higher crime areas instead of just riding around and looking for the small stuff.
Right.
So we have to concentrate on the high crime areas to stop the drug trafficking, and if you do that, a lot of our problems are stemmed from drugs, and if we can curb a lot of the drugs, then we're going to stop some shootings.
Right.
And maybe some road rage.
Yeah, one of the planks you platform is talk about road rage, which is interesting because it's something that does make the news. I hadn't thought about it in the last couple of weeks, but you said you would initiate a traffic unit with the Sheriff's Department that would reduce the number of traffic violations, which in turn, you said, would reduce road rage.
Exactly.
Explain that. Yeah.
I come from a big department, and the department had a traffic unit, and it was they advertise where they're going to be enforcing, and it's going to be in areas where we've got a lot of traffic accidents
mm-hmm.
and per se maybe road rage that's been reported. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to initiate a traffic unit and target the higher areas of traffic problems that we got. Let's face it, everybody drives these roads in the county and they know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's but we're going to concentrate on the higher traffic problems. We're having a lot of accidents out in the county, and because mm-hmm. The city's got their hands full now.
Yeah.
And we're going to go out in the county and try and reduce the number of traffic accidents and fatalities, and we're going to concentrate on DUI driving, drinking and driving fatalities. Okay. So that's one of the things.
By roadblocking, or what would
you
do there?
Well, that's part of, DUI is part of roadblocks. You can do it like on a Friday night and a Saturday night mm-hmm. and, to target, and you would actually advertise where you're going to have the roadblocks.
Yeah, because I think that's a legal policy
it
now.
Is,
you have
it's
to
illegal,
say.
Exactly. And you would target the DUI drivers
and
get them off the road before they do kill somebody.
You know, on this road rage thing, it is interesting. So, I mean, are you saying that in reducing the traffic issues, you reduce the reaction for road rage? Or
if you're putting out units out there and you're working traffic, let's say in a certain area, and people are seeing all the units out there mm-hmm. enforcing the traffic, then where you would have the problem with violations, you're going to stop the violations, which will keep the people from getting mad at the other one for cutting him off and causing a road rage. I haven't heard too many road rages up here. It has happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I haven't researched it and see how many we have had, but we need to initiate this unit to reduce the amount of violations and take our roads back.
So, and in doing that, this is always a question comes up when people go, who in the county does traffic? And we know the state troopers are present, but can sheriff's department do like speeding and those kind of things? Or
absolutely. They're law enforcement.
So it can it over, like, I guess I'm asking like a technical question. So you're outside the city. Where is state, does jurisdiction of the state trooper overlay with the sheriff's department, or do y'all split it up? Or
State troopers are state. They go anywhere.
Anywhere.
In the state.
Right.
The county is in the county.
But you see them more in the county,
yeah.
I guess. But
Yeah. The troopers can anywhere in the county.
Okay.
Deputies anywhere in the county. City normally stays in their city and enforces their city traffic laws. And it's basically state laws in the city, just like it is out in the county in the state.
Can y'all run radar can the sheriff's department run radar in the county?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir, you can. Matter of fact, I've got a radar unit in my car.
There you go. And you talk about this as being connected. In other words, taking care of traffic issues is connected to road rage. Obviously, taking care of DUI is connected to fatalities.
Exactly. Exactly. And if you got a unit on you, it will help reduce it. I'm not going to say it's going to stop it, but you can help reduce the amount of traffic accidents and fatalities just by initiating it on the DUIs.
On the violent side, it has not plagued the county as much as it has the city as of late, but still we have
It, yes, we do, and that's something we're going to have to do is to look into the higher crime areas and saturate the higher crime areas to try and reduce those high crimes.
Folks in law enforcement that have the wisdom I've talked to over time, they say, well, I can't exactly institute this, but if I could forget about it, there's about 10% of the people out there that are, you know, in the criminal world that we see, if I could get them off the streets, I could reduce violent crime by 80% or something like.
Well, I can't put a percentage on it. I've been in this a lot.
But are there certain pockets that are driving the majority of the stats out there?
Well, the drugs.
It's drugs.
I haven't got the stats on it, but the drugs and drinking, you know.
Right.
You look at your weekends and your amount of traffic accidents on the weekends.
Sure.
As related to the going to work type of accident.
Mm-hmm.
Like the city is, they're busy, and they're actually busier than we are, because out in the county, you know, we don't have that many deputies as per se to the city's department.
Right.
Sam Cochran is working on that right now. He's hiring a lot of people, and that's a plus for the sheriff department. So we just have to channel ourselves to try and get the traffic accidents and traffic fatalities down with a traffic unit. And in most agencies that I know have a traffic unit. A lot of people don't like to get a ticket, but it's going to it's going to teach them, you know, hey, you need to slow down, or you need to quit pulling in front of somebody, you know, etc.
Yeah, there's some, you say quit pulling in front of, there's those things that, like, we all get speeding. We know whether people speed or not,
right,
is dangerous and accelerate, you know, right, less time to react to something. But there's stuff like that that's also somebody pulling out in front of. How do you teach or enforce that?
Well, when you see it, it's a violation, and you can't.
It is a violation.
Yes, it is. It's a violation right away when somebody pulls out in front of you. Could be from a private driveway. It could be from a red light. It could be from a stop sign turning right on red.
Mm-hmm.
If they violate you right away, they got to make sure the traffic way is clear before they make any movement. But that's stuff that causes accidents.
We need some signage on that.
Yes.
you also mentioned here, escalate the number of school resource deputies within the schools to educate our young people and steer them towards a better life. You talked about that some. Is that having people, having deputies actually assigned to a school, or how would that work?
They have deputies in the school here. I don't know what the county is.
The Mobile system says they don't want a man, you know.
Yes, I understand. That's something we're going to have to work on and escalate the number that we have in there to educate these small folks, young folks. It's as simple as that, because they're not getting the education, to my knowledge.
Right. Well, and it's this challenge, because we've talked about this, just having, and I've had people call me that are retired law enforcement and said, I'll go do it. I'll take that job and be, you know.
We need it. It's a needed thing. I mean, it's something that benefits to the school system, and it benefits the youth that's in the school. I'm not talking just high school. I'm talking elementary.
Right.
You start at the
start youngest, early.
Yeah, start early, and as you go along, it educates them, and hopefully that it can stop a lot of this crime that we've got.
All right, we're coming right back. More with Ed Albritton running for sheriff of Mobile County right here on Midday Mobile.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 124, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. It's my buddy Trey. He's been doing it for 14 years in Mobile and Baldwin County. Here's how it works. Okay, you look around the house. I'm not picking on you specifically, but if you're trying to get organized in your house, it's easier to get organized with less stuff. If you used to have a guest room, it's now like a junk room. maybe it's time to think about that. Or your attic, you got to get stuff out there. Or, you know, the other day, Train, the crew not only went and cleaned out a storage unit or a shed in the back of a property, they took the shed down as well. Or if you have a giant trampoline and swing set and your youngest child's in their 30s, let it go. Let Train the crew get it. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Cleaning out storage units, offices, all that stuff. Houses you're getting ready to sell, they can do it all. So you got junk, you need it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Easy to make an appointment, and they do it the old-fashioned way. They find a day that works for you. Isn't this nice? Not a spectrum. A day that works for you and a window of time that works for you, and they set a good old-fashioned appointment. They show up. You point at what you want gone, and they get it gone. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Get that appointment set today. Continuing our conversation with Ed Albritton, running for sheriff of Mobile County. One of the big conversations when it comes to sheriffs in the 67 counties that has driven the statewide discussion and a lot of discussion here on the station is constitutional carry. Some people call it constitutional. Some people call it permitless carry. What are your thoughts on issuing required issue of permits to conceal and carry?
If you're legal to own a gun with this constitutional carry, you're legal to carry it. I don't have a problem with it. I'm 100% for it. That's your Second Amendment right.
So if somebody passes the NICS check and purchases the firearm,
they should be able to carry it. That's my opinion on it.
Okay.
I'm 100% for it. I would never infringe on any of our citizens' rights to keep and bear arms. And that's
coming from, interesting, because coming from a law enforcement perspective, I've heard from so many in law enforcement that say it puts them in more danger to not have this in place.
I've had it both ways. I've had them hand me their permits, which now you know there's a gun in there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go back and check them out, they're a legal citizen.
Mm-hmm.
The permits, I don't believe is going to change as far as getting a permit, because if you travel out of the state, you're going to need one.
Right.
And but as far as the safety of the officer is only as safe as he makes it.
Right.
And you're taught in the academy and you're taught over the years to be safe and how to approach, you know, just for, say, cars.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In a house, people have the right Second Amendment to own firearms, and you always think that they're there. So you just treat each one of your calls accordingly and watch your officer's safety. Now, being ambushed is another thing.
But that's not a concealed carry permit.
No,
thing. That's
it's not. But the concealed carry is... the legislature says that, yes, you have to charge for them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, set out of Montgomery, the local delegation.
That's actually right. They have a minimum and a maximum that the sheriffs can charge.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that that's going to change just because of constitutional carry. It's going to be about the same.
In that, I mean, there's two parts of it. There's like a pragmatic argument that you're making, and then there's the idealistic argument. The pragmatic argument is one that leads to funding questions. So if you remove that... Do you have counties or step up and bring that? I mean, how does that money come into a department then if it's not there through?
Well, you would have to just do it in your budget.
Okay.
I mean, ask for it in your budget when you go every year for your budget. I mean, I don't think that it's going to go away. So you're still going to have it, maybe not as much because
people.
They're going to carry it.
Yeah.
And they can legally.
On the idealistic side. This thing that, it's a tough question because I'm a strong Second Amendment advocate, and I talk about, your right to keep and bear arms. At the same time, somebody will argue with me and say, well, First Amendment is limited. You can't shout fire in a movie theater. You know that?
Well, that's calling a false crime.
Okay.
So that's...
Has its own.
Yeah, it's had its own. We're not talking about shouting a fire, but your Second Amendment is your right to keep and bear arms. And this constitutional carry says, just like you're legal to buy it, I'm legal to buy it, I should be able to carry it.
I would ask you, just from a law enforcement perspective, you mentioned something about someone handing you a concealed carry permit with their driver's license.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. I'm familiar with it. So your reaction, you're not speaking for everybody in law enforcement, for Ed Albritton's reaction is do you like that? You don't like that? What is your feeling on that?
I don't have a problem with it. If they hand it to me with the driver's license, I just say, where's the firearm?
Right.
And they say, it's in my glove compartment. Mm-hmm. I've got it on my hip. Okay, just leave it there.
Yeah.
And then I walk back and check them to see, make sure they are who they are.
Right.
And they are legal to have it.
Right.
Because it's a privilege to have that concealed firearm permit.
Right. So, I mean, I was just wondering technically, because, I mean, people wonder, when I've been stopped, if I may or may not have had a firearm. Who knows? I probably don't even have one. But I would tell the officer, hey, I've got a firearm in the vehicle. Because I just want to make sure that there's nothing seen that you know, scares the officer and something happens like that.
I would rather have them tell me.
There you go.
That way I know it's there.
If people want to get more information on your campaign, where do they go?
My website, not my website, but my Facebook, which I'm new at. I'm still learning it. It's
right.
J. Ed Albritton for Sheriff.
All right. Very good. Good to meet you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Monday style. Glad to have you all along. Text line is popping. You can do the phone line thing, too. 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. Keep your eyes. Actually, we'll give you an update here on the latest out of Washington as it refers to Russian threats to Ukraine. I would say that started some over the weekend with the shelling, but we'll get into that in just a second. Plus the, you know what, before we get to presidential trivia as well, the did you see the Heritage Foundation over the weekend had their annual Index of Economic Freedom? Now this is, like, this story comes from Fox Business, and I will argue, and it's going to be focused on the U.S. economy under President Biden. Okay. And I believe there's a bunch of blame to be put right there. But we've been inching towards this in Democrat and Republican administrations for a long time. And I don't know that if people felt, you know, what is the, you boil the frog, you turn the water up, turn the heat up on the water slowly. A story from Fox Business says U.S. economy under President Biden plunged to an all-time low, according to Heritage Foundation's annual Index of Economic Freedom. This year's quote here from the president of Heritage, which is a think tank, which is a right-leaning think tank. But for most of this, it's just numbers here. I mean, it's numbers and percentages here, so it's way more objective than it is subjective. So this year's Index of Economic Freedom paints a disturbing picture both at home and abroad, says Heritage President Kevin Roberts of the report. Quote, the decline of American economic freedom is a serious cause for alarm and has real and tangible consequences for all Americans, especially low-income families and the working class. The report determined, listen to this, United States, fell 2.7 points from the 2021 Index of Economic Freedom to a record low score of 72.1. I'm going to have all this make sense in a second. The U.S. also fell to its lowest ranking globally from the 20th spot in last year's ranking to the 25th in 2022. Would you have been surprised even last year to know that in the economic freedom scale, we were at 20th? We're not at, I mean, we wrote the book on economic freedom. That is has been the long-term success of our republic. And we were ranked 20th last year. We're 25 this year. The index, launched back in 95, evaluates country on rule of law. Don't you listen to this? This is like my Christmas list of policies. The index, launched in 95, evaluates countries on rule of law, government size, regulatory efficiency, and open markets. It's like some of the prettiest words I've heard in a long time, while also examining specific categories such as property rights, judicial effectiveness, government integrity, and tax burden. Said Americans are currently dealing with 40-year highs in inflation, with the Consumer Price Index rising 7.5% in January of this year compared to the same month in 2021. Biden's first year in office also saw supply chain crisis, U.S. consumer confidence plunging to an 11-year low, industries rocked by vaccine and mass mandates, and the U.S. national debt notching a new record when it surpassed $30 trillion. Okay, so part of this is obviously the debt load. These are all the unfun stuff that I talk about that I think are more important than whatever the latest splash of the pan political scandal is. But I know what the cable news networks have everybody fired up on. But y'all, watch the debt, as we've been talking about for a decade plus on the station. Watch the debt, because the more the debt's there, the more you're going to lose economic liberty, as the government has to have somewhere to get something to keep itself just barely above the water, right? Keep just sucking a breath every once in a while. We the people are where that goes. They make the decision. We pay the debt. So that's part of it. Also, rule of law. When you don't apply the rule of law evenly, you have less liberty. Government size, we're seeing obviously big growth there. Regulatory efficiency, open markets. Well, it depends on what you do, right? And how open the market is. I mean, look, even here in Alabama, and not just Alabama, other states, but when the shutdowns happened, the COVID shutdowns happened, remember that? And I will give people I'll give them a pass here because you didn't know what was going to happen with COVID early on. But what they did is they shut down small business, medium-sized business, and left the big players, they could be open. I mean, if you go back and tell our founders, there's going to be a situation where for public safety, we're going to shut down the smaller businesses but leave the giant ones open. Say what? So what's the flip side of this, by the way? Who's doing best? Well, the index found Singapore came in at the top spot among 10 most free nations, followed by... We'll come back to Singapore in a second. All right. Singapore found the 10 most free nations, followed by Switzerland, Ireland, New Zealand, Luxembourg, Taiwan, Estonia, Netherlands, Finland, and Denmark. We should be embarrassed that, like, Finland and the Netherlands are more economically free than we are, right? I mean, this is Australia says this year marks the first time Australia didn't make it the most free list, of course, because their government is out of control there. So Singapore, where I guess your money's free, but you get, who was the kid that they did the caning of? Remember that guy? An American kid, and he got caned. So I guess your money's free, but maybe you better not, whatever he did, say a curse word or spit on the street or whatever it was. He got caned. But there you go. We are now at 25th on the list in economic freedom. The people that wrote the book on economic freedom are now 25th. All right. I'm going to put this on the Twitter page, at FM Talk 1065, get some discussion from y'all on this, what do you think's going on here, and how much, I do believe, even though the story is painted as, and rightfully so, a big portion of this, going from 20 to 25th, is on the watch of President Joe Biden. But we didn't just end up at 20th overnight. What's going on here that makes us less economically free? So we'll get in that discussion. All right, people are clamoring here for, Dalton, how are we going to do this? Can we put people on the phone or do it on the text line? I could ask because I can have one grand prize. How about one of the FM Talk 1065 fishing t-shirts, fishing team t-shirts, dry fit shirts? Got our logo, got the snapper on there, got speckled trout. We could do one of those for a grand prize, but how do I work this for the grand prize? We'll start off, we'll just start off and get some contenders here in presidential trivia. Right, so I'll ask the question, and then I guess, Dalton, I need a conference here. Can you come in? Do we do phone, or do you do text line? I mean, which one here is, like, if I ask the question, I mean, if we do both, then somebody can, because people will be on Google. Right. This is a thing.
Right, you know? Right. We could do it either way. We could do it on the phones. If you do the text line, maybe everyone could participate that wants to participate.
That's true. We have a timestamp for you. Have to have the answer in first.
Right.
Yeah, you're helping me.
Or the most correct answers is kind of something I was thinking. How many questions do you have? Do you know?
Well, I could.
You can go for days.
Yeah, I could go through the Feinbaum show with these things. But let's do this. So we're going to test this out. I'll ask a question, and then whoever's first on the text line with the correct answer, you will. You'll win. So how about we start off? I got the floating keychain. Which, yeah. By the way, those will be. We're going to be at the Mobile Boat Show on March. I think it's 11th, 12th, 13th with our FM Talk 106.5 floating keychains. So what I'll do is the first question will be for the keychain.
Okay.
Okay. And then after that, then we may move to the next round here.
And we also have signed almanacs too. Don't forget.
Oh, we have. That's what we're going to do.
Dr.
Okay.
Bill
first round. First, the first round is going to be for a signed Dr. Bill Williams free 2020 Mobile Weather and Marine Almanac. All right? All right. So here, first question, and this is for the text line now. Text line. Which president made Christmas an official national holiday?
Whoa.
Because people think it's always been an official national holiday that our founders put it in. I didn't have time for that. Which president made Christmas a national holiday? First answer to the text line at 25134. Dang. Chris is fast.
And correct, and, I take it?
Yes. I mean, being fast and being incorrect doesn't do much for me. That would be Grant. Did you know that? Until Grant's time, it was not an official U.S. holiday.
Wow.
So, very good. So, Grant wins a signed copy of the Mobile Weather and Marine Almanac.
Congratulations,
right?
Yeah.
All right. So, Grant, just we'll get your contact info off the text line, and then we'll make the very pricey gift presentation to you very soon. All right. Let's go. I like this one. Who was the first American-born president? Not the first American, but who was born on U.S. soil?
Born on the mainland.
Yes.
Wow. So far, I'm 0-2.
And people on there saying this isn't fair. How is it not fair? You're wrong. Nope. Got lots of... Nope. I'm saying nope to the text line. Still don't have the correct answer here. There's people Googling probably madly.
Let me guess.
Okay, so, your guess is first American-born president.
I don't have a name. Hopefully, someone comes up with it on the text line. I'm just thinking, I mean... The first three...
Eighth president of the United States.
Okay, number eight then. All right.
Okay. So it took us eight to get a American born. 1782 was born.
Any correct answers there?
Let's see. Let me refresh again. No, I didn't think... This is a hard one.
Yeah.
I probably should have saved this for... So I'll tell you who it's not right now, okay? Well, we do have a winner. I was going to tell all the people who it's not, but we do have a winner. And it is, let me scroll here, the first one in on those. It's our friend Ashley from Loosedale. Martin Van Buren, the eighth president of the United States, first president to have been born after the American Revolution in Kinderhook, New York, on December 5th, 1782. Another signed almanac for you. We're going to come back with some more presidential trivia on this President's Day.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
By the way, too, it's always fun to see the crew at Robert Sale Power Equipment. We do this each year, and good to see so many of y'all come by and visit. Please do plan that for Wednesday. So I'll be there with Midday Mobile. I'll be on the air from noon to 1 and then be doing live check-ins from 1 to 2 as the Scuttlebutt Radio Network is going to be doing their show from 1 to 2 because they're bumped because of basketball like we do through this time of year. So they're going to be on. On from 1 to 2, but I'll be cutting in. But it'll give me more chance to visit with you all. So if you get a chance, come by and grab some food. And I walk away from there with great deals on lawn equipment. I'm a big fan of the lawn equipment world and chainsaws and all that good stuff. And never disappointed with the deals that come from Robert Sale Power Equipment. So we will see you on Wednesday. Folks in the neighborhood, come by and see me. And I'll bring some goodies. Speaking of goodies, so we've been awarding goodies to folks on the text line as we've been playing this presidential trivia. Oh, and Tim, by the way, this is like throwing a tennis ball, Dalton. You know, it's Tim on there said, I believe it was Grant was the president that started putting a bounty on the buffalo so Indians wouldn't have any food, so they wouldn't fight U.S. troops. Yeah, and there's, Tim, I mean, we could do a whole show about that. So where Hornady's speech to the Texas House and Senate that was quoted as part of this, now there's a whole bunch of stuff out that Hornady didn't say what he said and something different. But this idea of eliminating, the bison to eliminate Plains Indian in through the upper Midwest and even down into Texas and Comanche country. Tim, we'll do another show on that sometime because I love talking about all that stuff. All right. So another question here in the mix. And by the way, we'll keep her eyes on this. If y'all hadn't seen, Putin's declared independence for parts of Ukraine. Like I said, it was going to happen 2 weeks ago. Start dicing it up, territory by territory, saying that they're really Russian and these other people until they peel off all the districts of Ukraine. Are they states in Ukraine or what are they called? Provinces, state? I don't know what they call them. Okay, but we'll come back to that in a second. Who was the first? This is of interest too, as you know, people are talking about former President Trump running in 2024. Okay, so if he would win in 2024, he would have another addition to presidential trivia, because right now there's only one person that holds that title. Who was the first and only U.S. president to serve non-consecutive terms? Non-consecutive terms. So if former President Trump would run in 2024, would be elected, that kind of move. Who in the past, the only president to be two non-consecutive terms. All right, let's see. People are sending me videos. I can't check that out. That's wrong. You got to be kidding me. We've got Ashley from Loosedale, Dalton, owns this game. Just owns this game. We're going to have to do like they do with things. Well, you can't play anymore because she said Grover, as in Grover Cleveland. That is correct. Grover Cleveland was the 22nd and 24th president of the United States. Says here, between terms, Cleveland moved back to New York City, worked at a law firm, and his wife gave birth to their first daughter, Baby Ruth. Get it? All right. Very good. So I guess the grand prize will have to, at this point, go to Ashley because she has two of the first correct answers. She gave me Van Buren and Grover. Okay, my last two here will deal with, like, what presidents could have been. What were their other talents? One is from the music world. One is from the sports world. Okay? So who would be, how do I ask this correctly? Which president turned down offers to play pro football? Which U.S. president? So this is going to tell you a time frame, right? Because pro football, when did it start? Dalton will correct me. Early 70s, late 60s, something like that? Which president had offers to play pro football? Which president is that? Had offers to play pro football. And that would be... Michael gets it. I think Dalton can double check. Gosh, there's a lot coming in here. I think Michael gets it, and that was correctly answered. Gerald Ford. He attended the University of Michigan, where he was a star football player. Team won national titles in both 1932 and 1933. Big year for Michigan. After graduation, he turned down offers to play with both the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers. Instead, he took a coaching job at Yale in 1935 because he also wanted to attend law school. He left after six seasons with a law degree in hand and became the 38th president of the United States. So Gerald Ford, for all the jokes about him tripping and all that stuff, obviously he had enough athletic prowess that they were shopping in pro deals. I don't know in today's world if he would have, but back then. All right, and our final one here. Which president was a classically trained pianist and played four other instruments? This president is probably more well-known for other things. Was a classically trained pianist and also handy with four other instruments. Anyone? Anyone here? Which president is that? It was not Truman. No. Buddy, you're amusing me. Clinton, remember Clinton? The saxophone, right? That was his thing. All right, let's see here. And, okay, we got it, I think. And I'm sorry, I'm scrolling. And first one in, Preston. And he is correct. Nixon, classically trained pianist and also handy on the violin, clarinet, and saxophone and accordion. And accordion. I'd like to play the accordion. That's an accordion. Yeah, so Nixon's mother encouraged him to play piano at an early age, and he went on to learn violin, clarinet, saxophone, and accordion. In 1963, his musical talent became a political asset when he performed a song he wrote, the Jack Parr, on the Jack Parr program, which helped repair his image after losing the California gubernatorial election a year prior. So there you go. If you're a budding politician, maybe pick up an instrument or two. Well done. So, Preston, good job. I think our grand prize winner. Of course, Preston gets a prize. Everybody who got a correct answer first, but I think it is Ashley with two correct answers and gets the grand prize of the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Team t-shirt. So, well done. There you go. That's my celebration. That's all I do on President's Day. I'm going to go through the history of the presidents. We'll do that on other shows because we like to do stuff like that. But a little presidential trivia. It'll be back this time next year. All right. Eyes on the situation half a world away. It's, you know, the administration keeps telling us date certain when invasion's going to happen. That was last week. And then there's talk about that there's going to be a conference, maybe, with Putin. I know Macron has talked to Putin, but now they're talking about Putin's addressed the Russian people, told them that these Ukrainian districts are part of Russia now, and you know, we'll see what happens. Talk about this with you online. And let's do this. Paul Feinbaum, he takes over next.